We're going to start and look at Ephesians 1. We're going to read verses 3 to 8 of Ephesians 1, and then we're going to flip over and read Ephesians 4, verse 29. Start with Ephesians 1, 3 to 8, and then we're going to flip over and read Ephesians 4, 29, mainly focusing on Ephesians 4, 29. But I want to start with Ephesians 1, starting in verse 3. Please hear this public reading of God's Word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. Now, chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So way back on New Year's Eve, we looked at Ephesians. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but we looked at Ephesians way back New Year's Eve, and I gave a brief outline of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is split up very nicely. The first three chapters of the book of Ephesians is filled with gospel truth. The light of the gospel shines brightly in the first three chapters of Ephesians. And then the light of the gospel hits the prism of our lives in chapter 4, and it begins to work its way out into every area of our life after chapter 4. One of the areas in which the gospel works its way out is our speech. The very words we choose to say are different in light of the gospel, right? In light of the fact that we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, by the fact that we have been adopted into God's family, that God has lavished his grace upon us in all wisdom and insight, we will talk differently in light of that truth, in light of that gospel truth. But my guess is that none of us in this room is content with how we use our words. My guess is that all of us have trouble controlling our tongues. So I want to share a story from Alistair Begg to help illustrate this point. Alistair Begg is a godly pastor. He's been a pastor at Parkside Church in Cleveland, Ohio, for almost 35 years now, and he shared this story. This is from years ago. He was driving around Cleveland, Ohio. His young son was sitting in the back seat as he drove around Cleveland, Ohio. He said he was verbalizing certain things as he went along about the nature of some of the other drivers. Nobody in this room has probably ever done this, verbalizing things about the drivers. And then all of a sudden, he said he must have said something like this. Oh, look at this clown. What is he doing? Why don't you get over into the turning lane so I can go around you? What are you doing? He said, then the car went silent as he continued to drive on, and all of a sudden a little voice from the back of the car spoke these words, and that's another kind word from your pastor. I love this story. It's funny, it's memorable, but I love this story because God used this young son to convict Alistair Begg, to humble Alistair Begg, to show Alistair Begg that he was coming up short from obeying Ephesians 4, 29. But if Alistair Begg, this godly pastor, if he is having trouble controlling his tongue, certainly we are having trouble controlling our own tongue. So let's look at Ephesians 4, 29. Paul says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. What does Paul mean by no corrupting talk? He's talking about rotten words, dishonest words, unkind words, vulgar words are certainly included in this word. So slander and critical speech, even when that speech is true, harsh words, insults, ridicule, gossip, or complaining, any speech that tends to tear down another person, either someone we are talking about or someone we are talking to, that would be sinful speech. Jerry Bridges has written a wonderful book called Respectable Sins. Many of you in this room have read that book. A wonderful book. While he was writing that book, Respectable Sins, many people would stop him and ask him what, if he was writing anything at the moment. And he would tell them, yeah, I'm working on a book called Respectable Sins. It's sort of about the acceptable sins that we tolerate in Christian circles. And he said time after time after time, people would roll their eyes at him and say, oh, you mean like gossip? That's what you're writing about? He said after this happened numerous times, he gave this keen observation. He said apparently gossip is the first of the Christian respectable sins that comes to mind. So it must be quite prevalent among us and is something we continue to tolerate in our lives. Sadly, I think that Jerry Bridges is right on the money here. This is a sin that we continue to tolerate. So let's take the sin of gossip and the sin of complaining, two very common acceptable sins in Christian circles. Why are these two sins so bad for us to use these two sins? Jerry Bridges again says, if I gossip, or if we gossip, we both tear down another person and we corrupt the mind of our listener. Let's take the sin of complaining. If we complain about the difficult circumstances of our life, we impugn, we call into question the sovereignty and goodness of God, and we tempt our listener to do the same. In this way, our sin metastasizes into the heart of another person. Our sin attaches itself into the heart of another person, begins to grow in another person. This is why it is so bad. Amy Carmichael, the missionary to India, who was a missionary there for 51 years, she had this little saying where she would go through these three filters. Before she would say anything about somebody else, she would go through these three filters, these three questions that she would ask herself. The first question was this: is it true what I'm about to say about this person? Is it true? Am I going to stretch the truth? Am I going to exaggerate? Am I going to say a lie? Is it true? Her second question was, is it kind? Is this word that I'm about to speak about this person, is it kind? I don't know how many times growing up when I would say something unkind and my parents would hear me, my dad would say, Scott, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. So is it true? Is it kind? Her third question was, is it necessary? Is it really necessary for me to say this particular thing? John Piper picks up on this and he says, we shouldn't merely ask the moral question, am I avoiding corrupting words? We certainly should ask that, but we shouldn't stop there. He says we should continue and ask the Christian question, which is, am I building the faith of others by what I say? Is my mouth a means of grace? And this is the powerful part of Ephesians 4. Let's read the whole verse. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Do you see how incredible this verse is? The second half of this verse is absolutely amazing. When we as Christians use words that edify and encourage and build up another believer, our words become an instrument of God's grace toward others. I think we should remember the words of Jesus. He said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Another verse that we should remember is Psalm 19:14, along with Ephesians 4:29. Psalm 19:14, a wonderful prayer from King David. He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So Jerry Bridges would take Ephesians 4:29 and he began to apply it not only to his words, but he began to apply Ephesians 4:29 to his thoughts. And he said this, I try to apply Ephesians 4:29 to my thoughts as well as my speech. I'd like to have no corrupting thoughts come out of my heart, but only thoughts, if uttered, that would build up those who hear them. I mean, how many corrupting thoughts have we had collectively in this room this week? What if we sought to be like Jerry Bridges and prayed even over our thoughts, that our thoughts would be uplifting, encouraging thoughts? So have we used corrupting words this week? Have we gossiped or complained or talked harshly to others? Have we used words that have built others up this week? Have our words been an instrument of God's grace towards others? I'll give you a few moments to pray silently and I'll close us in prayer. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the truths of the gospel contained in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. We are thankful that we have been chosen before the foundation of the world. We're thankful for our adoption. We have been adopted into your family, that you have lavished your grace upon us in all wisdom and insight. Absolutely incredible truths contained in Ephesians chapter 1. But Father, as we think about Ephesians 4:29, one small little verse, we must confess that we have not obeyed one single verse fully and completely this week. So often we have complained about situations in life. So often we have used words of gossip and slander and harsh words and critical words, Father. Forgive us for our corrupting words that we have used. Forgive us for our corrupting thoughts. So many corrupting thoughts that we have had that we haven't uttered. But forgive us for our corrupting thoughts as well. Father, we are so thankful for the gospel. We are so thankful that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We're so thankful that you've cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. We're so thankful that while we were yet sinners, that Christ would die for us. Father, I just pray, and even this afternoon and this week ahead, that we would use words that build others up, Father, that our words would be an instrument of your grace toward others, that even our thoughts, Father, would be edifying thoughts this afternoon and this week ahead. Father, we just pray for Mark as he gets ready to preach on John 4 here in a little bit. I pray you'd use him in a powerful way. Help us to be attentive to your word. And Father, even as we sing now, Father, I pray that you would use this time to help stir our affections for you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.